In every age, God raises people up to speak the truth to the world in a way that is currently relevant. Though our opinions should not be held with the same esteem as the biblical canon, we still carry the hope of Christ to the world. Our society has forgotten what it means to follow Christ. The bright lights of truth seekers are barely visible in the dim twilight of a post-Judeo-Christian society. We all see the darkness coming. All we can hope is to share the light that He has entrusted to us. This is Modern Apocrypha. Hey, I'm Jared.
And I'm Greg.
And this is Modern Apocrypha.
Welcome.
So I wanted to talk today about sort of what's actually going on in America. This is something that was driven home by Tucker Carlson, episode 75, the national security state and the inversion of democracy. And to me, there was nothing there that was really new to me. But at the same time, this is an episode that I say that just about every adult American ought to watch, just because people need to understand what's actually going on in the country and how much things actually do or don't matter in terms of politics and their vote and the way they think things ought to run. One of the things that I like to do with my dad is backing up a little, I guess. Growing up, my family never watched TV together, really. We would occasionally watch a show together. Like, we would sit down and watch Hogan's Heroes or this or that.
I think there was more of a cultural norm. The family structure of America was we each had our own TV shows often, and we would go to movies together. It's kind of the American norm.
Sure, and in my family, it wasn't even that way. We just, when it came to anything political or cultural or whatever, we didn't do it together. Where, you know, there are people who sit down and watch Saturday Night Live. And I remember one time as a teenager going to a relative's house, and they were watching something. It might have been SNL. It was something with some improv and this and that. And it kind of nonplussed me. The family actually sat down and did this together. And that was weird to me. That was very strange. I'd never done that. And finally, I start listening to these Daily Wire backstages when they very first started coming out with them. And I'm like, oh, I get it. That's why they did that. I wish I had somebody to watch this with, because it would be fun to do that. And so I asked my dad, do you want to watch these together? And he's like, oh, okay, we can try that. And it has sort of been a tradition ever since to do that when they have one. Within a day or two, we'll get...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair warning, you really do want to find a good group for that. I found that my particular spouse and daughter do not care to hear what I have to say about what's on TV. So you have to find an acceptable group of people who enjoy discussing what's on the screen and not just want to raply and take whatever, you know. We each have our things that we hold more wrapped. I wouldn't want someone interrupting my favorite movie or something like that at the same time. So sure. If we're the right topic and the right people for this to work just right.
Oh, absolutely. But the point is that this is something that we kind of do together. And one of the things that sort of strikes me every time I do this is how the normal political discourse in America operates on a level that is kind of, it's almost bizarre to me because it's so far removed from the reality of what's actually going on. It's like we talk about, oh, they should do this. Oh, they should do that. Oh, we should elect somebody who does this. And I'm like, Now my dad, he operates on the kind of the same level I do. So we get each other. It works. But with most people, I recently got added to a group chat of some Daily Wire folks. And okay. I go through this and I'm constantly thinking to myself, you guys don't understand. None of this matters. None of this has anything to do with reality. This is totally disconnected from anything that's actually going on in the world. What are you talking about?
I had that thought as I was watching some conservative media as we've gotten into, is it Davos and the World Economic Forum?
But yeah.
It's Davos. It used to be that we would get shots of presidents and kings meeting in Davos. Now that we're in there with recordings, it doesn't matter anymore, people. It obviously doesn't matter because you're there.
Yeah. Well, and anyway, so getting back to this Tucker Carlson thing, I'm not going to spoil the whole thing, and there's nothing really to spoil, but what he does is his guest gets into all the specifics about how politics is actually run in the world and in America, especially since 2016, who's running things and how the decisions are made and how people are led about by the nose and all of the things that go into that. What were you going to say there?
That there's a slight change in wording that I would use there. That okay. What he's describing is how in computer science you could affect the port where information comes in and affect all of the system that you're intercepting. The way that he's describing things is this is the manipulation and the skewing of specifically news information. This is how we don't tell you all of the information, or we tell you we focus heavily on a particular topic, but it's not about the gears of government so much as binding the gears of government by public sentiment by wagging the dog or something like that.
Right. And that's exactly what he's saying is basically this is how the information that we as Americans or anybody else in the world is sort of created and digested, and this is how it has changed since 2016. And at the core of this, most people don't realize the CIA has and other government organizations have long been manipulating elections in other countries, and that whole apparatus got turned on America to the point where they outright determined what could and couldn't be put on social media in the 2020 election to specifically make it so that Donald Trump would not be elected. And the way they did that was via what we found out happened on Twitter, where they're shadow banning or outright deleting posts, this, that, whatever's going on. They're manipulating what people are and aren't allowed to see by monitoring the narrative and deciding what is and isn't okay. And part of the reason for this, and I don't think that they actually covered this in the Tucker interview, but you realize Donald Trump was saying, getting kind of serious about actually withdrawing from NATO. He was saying we should withdraw from NATO. They need to pay their fair share or we shouldn't be there. And the people who are pulling a lot of these strings are sort of centered in a NATO orbit. And so NATO kind of gets to pull a lot of those strings. They're the ones where that power center is sort of located. And I didn't know that exactly, but the whole point of this and what it keeps driving home to me is basically this. Most people in America, even guys at the Daily Wire, we're not talking mainstream media, folks. We're talking guys at the Daily Wire don't believe that the election was actually rigged and manipulated to the point where it was totally false. And I, just based on my understanding of how things go down and how the world works, I understood from the very beginning when we started to see what was happening on election night that the results had been just totally, absolutely dragged into a pretzel, that it was nothing like what it should have been. And whether that was by actually changing what was in the votes or changing what was changing what was in the mail-in ballots, changing what people thought by changing the narrative on social media, all down the line there has been manipulation in various areas. And it's kind of irrelevant at which level the final straw came down and broke the camel's back. The whole situation is just absolutely rigged. And what we do, how we vote in a national election has very little to do with what actually happens in a power sense in the country. And I've known that for years, and most people are still living with this illusion that the people we vote for determine how the decisions are made in this country, instead of the people we vote for are determined by sort of this deep, people like to call it the deep state, but really what it is it's a corporate government sort of incestuous amalgamation of fascism. And it's been going on for probably 50 to 70 years. I think it really started about the JFK assassination.
There's a real credible, there's a real credible tie to the creation of the New York Times and the creation of the CIA public speaking orifice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when was the founding of the New York Times? 1851. That was the beginning of the CIA in our propaganda.
Well, okay, so the CIA didn't exactly exist then.
Exactly.
But well, and I understand what you're getting at, that this thing has been growing for a long time. But
you speak of it as a dialectic sometimes. This stuff has been
right, going on. Right. No, it has. It has been going on. But the question is, when did the votes of the people of America stop being able to affect the outcome of things to the point where it was the determining factor? And as close as I can point to would have been around the time JFK got taken out, because at that time, the people who were elected to office really did make some determination on things. After that, it kind of devolved really quickly. And, you know, you can look at what Dwight Eisenhower said as the military-industrial complex and whatever. And it, of course, it went back before that. Of course, the dialectic has been going on for all of human history because the enemy has been manipulating things the whole time. No question. What I'm saying is, in our current political dynamic, when did our vote really stop counting? And most people think it still does. Most people think it still matters. Most people are at a base level convinced that who we elect as president is going to have a huge impact on what happens in the country. And I hate to tell you guys, but our political system is so locked into a playing field that is determined in other places that it really doesn't work that way. And it hasn't for a very long time.
I kind of disagree. I think that a president has a particular power. It is the power that they hate Trump for, because he says things they don't want said, and being a pulpit is its power. And it is the same reason JFK was killed, right? It's a lot of when you don't say what the dialect
okay. say. In that sense, I absolutely agree with you. And it's when you get these sort of dark horse candidates, the people who come in and change, and they're not expected to actually do the things they do or whatever. And you're right, it is the power of what they say that really changes anything. What I'm talking about is the political power to make decisions that change the way the American people are governed. That's what I'm speaking to here.
Right. And that's not the particular point of the power. It's not. I mean, if you look at Reagan, he was also shot for his bucking the system. What his method of getting across his end goals were to take his case to the people and point out those people that were standing in the way of what the people agreed with him they wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that in some sense that matters, but Reagan was still elected by a particular portion of the power elite. He was not the people's candidate. He was
So
he really wasn't.
Do you believe that we're past the point where the American populace, having been shown that their will wasn't followed, that the power elite have the ability to hold them down?
Okay, so right now things are kind of in flux, and the answer to that question is like a 12-part answer, because on the one side, yeah, if it were made clear enough to enough people heavily enough, there could be some kind of change forced, but it would be more in the way of a negotiation than anything else, kind of like what happened with Trump, but it really wouldn't change the basic makeup of the system. And right now, that's really at base what would have to change for things to meaningfully be reordered. And here's what I mean by that. Until and unless we can get rid of, just absolutely get rid of, the group of people who are, you know, part CIA, part non-government organization, part corporate, who determine via censoring social media and deciding what the mainstream media posts and all of the different things they do, what information the people take in, until you could get rid of those people, the current power structure is entrenched and it's not going to substantially shift in terms of the political side of things. And the only way that I see that happens is if their legs get kicked out from under them and the money stops being issued by a government and it goes back to being controlled by either sort of a nature, the way the gold standard was, or code, the way Bitcoin is. That would require a reorganizing of power enough that the stalemate could sort of break and maybe things could actually happen in the open again. But right now, everything happens behind the scenes.
Excuse me. I would push back. I don't think I agree. I think that we think pridefully about our system and our country. I think that going back to what our country states it is would be getting rid of those secrets. I think that's hugely beneficial. I don't think we need to worry about entrenched power. I think entrenched power exists everywhere, and God's got it taken care of when he kills people. You're going to pass. Your favorite things may or may not be your great-grandkids' favorite things. And the system of freedom, the system of no system that we're trying to get as close to no system as we can while still not allowing people to kill people in the streets, because that's
right.
Wicked. Right. So a maximal reduction of wickedness with a maximal increase of freedom and liberty is our system. And so I wouldn't complain about our system. I would prevent anybody from encoding anything that entrenches a dead man's opinion into my life. And I would remove as many walls that allow someone to keep secrets as possible.
Okay, so that wound up going into a place where I don't even understand how it addressed what I was saying exactly. But what I'm getting at here is not that we need to be worried about anything. It's that I want people who listen to this podcast to have an accurate understanding of how the world works as much as possible. And I'm not worried about where the power resides. I don't lose sleep over what's going on politically or, you know, sub-politically with the deep state or any of that stuff. I don't lose sleep over any of it. I'm not stressed out over it. I'm not black-pilled. None of that really bothers me because I trust God, as you said. But I also want the people who I care about to have an accurate understanding of how the world is functioning so that they can go about their lives in a way that's useful, that's effective.
It feels very much like a giant lake of methane on Saturn. How do you call that a fossil fuel? This feels very much like a breaking free for people that I'm not going to put up with that lie anymore. You think these things are true. That's just false. You're a flat earther. That's stupid.
Right. Right, exactly. And it's going back to the truth of what we're dealing with that I am for. That's what I'm trying to promote. And so when opportunities like this Tucker Carlson thing come along, I have to take opportunity to like point it out and say, yeah, we are incentive captured politically. Things can't change in this system. Instead, they're going to have to, something from outside the system is going to have to come along and sweep away the current power dynamics in order for things to be open and above board again.
This might be a bit of a Christian-focused message from me and help me remember exactly where it's at. But there's a space in Revelations where it speaks about old men having dreams and being flooded with so much, and only those with the symbol of God on their head will make it through the confusion. Part of that section, part of that thought, that lesson to be learned, is Tucker presently is pro-Russian and all these things, right? That are not, are they disparate things? They're not connected things. He's fairly Christian lately. That's not connected to anything pro-Russia. It's not connected to anything CIA. You've got to look through all of the junk, through everyone, and try to fit, right? You've got so much coming at you, but that doesn't mean that the source is good. Just because the information is good doesn't mean the source is good, and just because the source is bad doesn't mean the information's bad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's a horrible situation to find yourself in, but that's where we're at.
Well, and you know what I would say, what Revelation actually says about these times, and what actually every source in the Bible that talks about the end of the age, what it says is do not be deceived. That's how it always starts out. It's do not be deceived. It's there will be much deception. Do not be deceived. And so the best thing we can do as Christians, as humans, as people who love each other, is to try to focus on the truth more than anything else, and to share that with the people around us so that we are not deceived. That's the best thing we can do. And that's actually kind of what modern apocrypha is about. And so again, you know, when we have the opportunity to say, hey, look, the deception is being exposed, we kind of do that. We like to go, the deception is being exposed. And that's kind of what this is. It's
you see Ann Coulter's recent perfect example of that.
No, tell me.
Ann Coulter was on Bill Maher this week. Okay. And he said, somebody shot somebody. We don't know who. And it's no official story. She said under her breath, but loud enough on mic for everyone to hear, so we know it's not a white guy. And then we went on for a couple of minutes of discussion about how, because you have not been given an answer, we know through experience that we get an answer right now if it's a white male. If it's anything that we can put on the narrative that's currently being told, it'll come out immediately. Now, that's a good lesson broadly, because whatever the narrative currently being told is the thing that's boosted. It doesn't really matter what the current narrative is.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. That's 100% right on. It is always the current narrative that gets signal boosted, and everything else sort of gets pushed into the background as much as possible.
Yeah, her being strong in the moment, and just, how could you not see this? This is obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and you know, I sort of, this might seem like a little too much of thinking of myself here, but I always have this sort of sneaky, so what if Modern Apocrypha were to blow up and I were to say these things on Tim Pool, on Tucker Carlson, on Bill Maher, on national media, what effect would that have? Would it sort of be pushed into the background as noise, or would there be, you know, would people notice if I were to speak the truth in that context? And I really have no idea. It's sort of this weird curiosity that I entertain from time to time, is just, if I had a huge signal, would people even notice? Or would it just be subsumed because the narrative is what people actually want to hear? And I suspect it's more that, because, you know, there are people who are speaking the truth in big ways, and it kind of gets subsumed. People want to have their massive deception. And with that, you want to take a quick break?
Sure.
All right. We'll be back in a minute.
Back in a minute, guys.
Modern Apocrypha is brought to you by Brightstar, the forthcoming book by me, Jared Michaud, due to hit shelves April of 2024. For pre-release copies, head over to e6universe.com. Use the promo code Israel for 10% off with your order.
I'd like to take a moment to thank all the people enjoying Modern Apocrypha. As many of you can see, I'm an avid coffee drinker, and I've been drinking North Arrow coffee for a couple of pounds now. You can find North Arrow Coffee at northarrowcoffee.co, all one word, where they list coffee of the month and how green coffee is handled. I've been enjoying some of the number 4 Honduras and some of the number 10 Peru, available at northarrow.co. If you'd like to help support us even more, you can use discount code E6 for 10% off your coffee order today. Thank you.
And we're back.
Welcome back, everyone.
So, you know, we were talking a little during the break about the different things that have happened, and starting with I suppose you could go clear back to the Civil War to see some of the weird manipulations, but starting with the JFK assassination, you know, it was pretty obvious after that there was just this series of things where it's like that power block actually discovered that they could control things and got a tighter and tighter grip on how power was handled in the US. So JFK assassination, we went into, what was the next one you mentioned? Nixon and Watergate was one of those that came after that. But even between those two, you know, you've got the whole Vietnam War thing, and you realize that the way the Vietnam War ended was totally manipulated by the media, that we were actually winning. We should have won. And what's his name? Cronkite went into Vietnam and sort of talked about how we were losing, and all of a sudden we're withdrawing because public sentiment shifted. Well, that was a manipulation even then of the media and what happened. And then you get into Nixon and Watergate. You know, Nixon had no knowledge of what happened in Watergate, and he had never admitted wrongdoing. What he got impeached with was just, he said, I no longer have the political backing to maintain my presidency. That's what he said. And then you go from there to Reagan getting shot to, you mentioned Ross Perot, right? And sure. And the manipulation that went down during the second George Bush term. Then you have all of the stupidity that went on with Bill Clinton. And then you get into 9/11 with George W. Bush and the insanity of 9/11 and the crazy manipulation that went on there. And, you know, maybe we ought to go into that in more depth at some point, but there have been a million different analyses of what happened on 9/11. All I had to know to actually go, oh, this is just outlandish, crazy, is just that on 9/11, it was the day when the US government, when the FAA was doing a simulation of planes hitting buildings on 9/11. Do you really think that there's any way that could have been lined up that way? They don't advertise that crap. And then you go down the line from there to all the stupid things that went on. I'm not even talking about the towers being blown up, though I think anybody with half a brain cell and a little bit of understanding of structural engineering can tell you that that was not freaking fire from a jet plane that caused it to come down from the base. It fell from the base. Okay. But I wasn't even talking about that. I'm just talking about all the craziness that went on in surrounding that and what it led to with the Patriot Act and the tighter controls on U.S. people's freedoms here in the U.S.
And, so if you've got a general conceptual start around the speech of the military-industrial complex and a trigger of activation around JFK, and that's the beginning of an era or beginning of a period, people realizing that's going on for the 2020 elections might be the end of a period.
That's totally fair. It might be it, or at least the beginning of the end of a period or something. But really what it looks like to me is that everything from JFK up to 2020 and what happened with Trump were sort of the final stages of the total capture of our politics within a fascistic corporate governmental complex that basically makes it so that we don't have any say in how power is really wielded. And we talk like we do, but that's manipulation. Instead, it's just captured. And so, I don't know, man. It's like, it's the end of that era. People are starting to see it, but that just means that something is going to come along and upset that apple cart in a way that's really seriously weird. And we kind of already know what it is. Or at least I think I know what it is. I don't want to put words in your mouth there, but to me it looks like, you know, the whole Constantinople thing where the Byzantine Empire was offered cannons in 1451, and the emperor refused them. And then in 1453, the Ottoman Empire invaded Constantinople with the cannons that the Byzantine Empire had refused in 1451. So we've got the technology out in the world to actually destroy this power block, and we're acting like it's still fully functional. It's like talking politics in Constantinople in 1452, because it mattered? No, yep. It didn't. And, well, and then the other half of that is, you know, we've talked about deepfakes before. It's AI and deepfakes basically making blackmail, political blackmail, totally impossible, because you can fake anything now, which means that if people get recorded doing horrible things and then blackmailed, which is how the political class has been controlled historically by and large, that's really not going to be possible for very much longer. So there's that.
There's a couple of other things that seem to be dramatic about our current moment. We do have some new technologies that are out there, but I feel like we're in an interesting place with gathering it and keeping a hold of it for ourselves, or you know, making sure that we're a part of the revolutions that are ongoing with computer hardware and things like
we
that.
We being who?
I suppose the nation more so than the individual.
Well, and that's the question to me, because what is the nation? Because the nation isn't a political unit. It's sort of a culture that is grouped together as America. But what is America anymore, other than the people who hold the ideals that were America? But we've got half the country that doesn't hold those ideals. They hold some other sort of equity-based thing where everybody needs to be equal. And yay, rainbow mafia.
I think that you're going to likely always see that new vectors of attack, new technologies, new things like that are going to be always that to the elite first and then trickle down. Things that we can do to prevent the toilet being stored in some French princess's back room for 300 years before it's released to the public would be great to avoid. but there's no going back once it's out. So that being the case, one of the things I see that's interesting and just true, I'm not advocating for it one way or the other, it's just true, is that you can't hide, period. You can find anybody from any one picture all the time. So how many people can you make upset before they find you? Because they can find you now. There's no hiding. So once that's common knowledge, right, it's not a matter of is this possible or not, but it's just true that I have an image, where was he? Then people will learn that they can no longer ruin other people without the natural law of we will be given retribution.
Interesting. You know, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I guess we'd also talked about hope and not blackpilling people. And I suppose this is as good a place as any to pivot to that. And I would say to our audience, to whoever's listening to this, that there is no cause. If you're a Christian, there is no cause to be blackpilled. If you're not a Christian, God help you, you need to be, because the whole world is a disaster. It's a slow-moving avalanche of disaster that's all coming down on you. And that's sort of something that we all deserve.
Be lithe, be nimble.
Well, and that's something we all kind of deserve. But the point is, if you're a Christian, there is no cause to be blackpilled, because God has this all in hand. It's all a case of things coming together the way they need to for the plans to take shape. And yeah, humans are at the base of a lot of these weird things going on. But the reality is, God has protected us sovereignly in ways that are just kind of amazing, and is continuing to do that. And, you know, that's, how do I put this? Well, actually, this is a great place to talk about the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that mean? You have any idea?
It is something that I put a great deal of thought in, and I refuse to put a pin in.
Okay. The way I see it, the way I understand it, goes something like this. The kingdom of heaven is as much a way of being and a way of living as it is a rulership and power structure, okay? So when we see that the world Christ was bringing about, the kingdom he was founding and bringing about, is one where if we have faith and trust in the Lord to provide for us and take care of us, then all of the things that could harm us either won't harm us, or they will be used for good, or they will be, you know, changed in purpose to do something that needs to be done, whatever the case may be. The closer you get to God, the more you're like a fish swimming upstream in a culture where it's like a river plunging down a waterfall. You're swimming up the waterfall as a fish, because you live in a way that is just totally outside of the system that is currently here, and that the system that's currently here can't really do anything about you. But what that also means is that our focus, while we're aware of politics and we're aware of the systems and we're aware of the powers that are acting in the world around us, we're also not that focused on them. Instead, our focus is on drawing people into that kingdom. That was the task we were given. That was our commandment. And so all of these other things, we're sort of out of phase with them, and we're living in the kingdom of heaven. And we don't have to be concerned with them, because God will provide us a way. And whatever that way is, it's going to be very different for each person. It's going to be, you know, some people will run around without passport or driver's license and not be noticed, and they're just a glitch in the system. Other people will live a normal life, have a passport and a driver's license, but there won't be anything on which the enemy can hold them. Some people will be dragged in front of the courts, and
that entire will be... countries will name their child Mohammed to avoid a first name.
Sure. Absolutely. And people will be dragged in front of courts, but that will just be an opportunity to speak truth that he intends to be spoken. And as Jesus said, he said, they'll persecute you, they'll do this, but not a hair on your head will perish. And what that means is that God will, because as you said, he can just resurrect us from the dead. God kind of doesn't care about death. That whatever it is, if we're living in his kingdom, our risk-reward system, our incentives, everything is different. And so if you're attached to this world, then yeah, absolutely you should be black-pilled, because this world is a disaster zone. And until Jesus Christ returns to rule the nations personally with an iron rod, it's going to be that way. But our world and the kingdom of heaven touch each other through us, and we get to actually have an impact on this world that matters right now. We get to draw people into the light. And I think that is the white pill of the ages.
Certainly a huge bonus that you will find in this moment in time is you will feel drawn to people that you hadn't been drawn to before, because they're open in a way that they weren't open before. The falsehoods that were the structure of their reality are gone, and they're ready for something better.
Absolutely. And that's such an exciting opportunity. You know, it's being a part of God working in other people's lives is such a privilege. I'm so blessed that I get to be a part of your life and of the lives of other people where God's working and drawing them to him, because it I don't even know how to describe it. There are very few things in life that are as rewarding at base as just being able to be a part of that. It's a huge blessing. And that's the case for all of our listeners too, you know, is we all have that opportunity. So don't be in the world, but not of the world, and go and make disciples of the nations.
Amen, man. That is the white pill. That is the white.
It is. You want to put a pin in it there?
I think that's a great place to stop for this topic.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll catch you next time.
Catch you next time.